So with that, we are going to look at 1 Timothy, and it's written from Paul to Timothy, and it's a guide for him to follow, to share with churches. It contains 6 chapters, 1 Timothy, and in it we see that there are leadership guidelines, order in the church, doctrine, and miscellaneous duties are presented. So in essence, it's a guide to church members, church leaders, elders, deacons. And the key lesson we could learn from 1 Timothy is to live a godly life. That is something that we should always stress in our Christian walk of life, how we relate to God, how we present ourselves to others in the world, not just here on when we meet, but 24/7. And Jesus is presented in this epistle as the mediator between God and man. He is the Savior of all men who believe in him. And that's the qualifier. We have to believe in him in order to be saved. Like I said, Paul is going to share with Timothy the duties and qualifications of elders and what's expected for us to worship God in a way that he expects, not the way we want to worship him, but the way God expects us to worship him. If you look at that outline of 1 Timothy, we see that the first chapter, he deals with sound teaching, the law and mercy. In chapters 2 and 3, we see that he gives us some guidelines, Paul does, to living in a godliness and dignity, how we are supposed to conduct ourselves as Christians. In prayer, in marriage, and also overseers and deacons. He covers that in depth in chapter 3, of their qualifications and what's expected from them. Paul gives us a reason why he wrote this letter in the 3rd chapter. In the 4th chapter, he deals with sound teaching, discipline, and godliness. Qualities we as Christians are supposed to follow in our lives. From chapters 5 through chapters 6, verse 10, he covers those who are overseeing the church. Caring for widows. Honoring elders, and this is a pretty important one, is identifying false teachers and dealing with them. And finally, in the remainder part of chapter 6, Paul shares with Timothy, charging him to godliness, something that we as Christians should incorporate in our lives. That's because this letter was written to Timothy. It's also applicable to you and I today. In 1 Timothy, Paul encourages Timothy to fight the good fight and not let his young age be a hindrance. When Timothy was with Paul, he was his protege, and Paul was teaching him. Paul was mentoring him. He was a young individual who was going to go out and preach when Paul is no longer around. And Paul encourages Timothy to fight the good fight, something that we as Christians should always do. And he gives Timothy instruction concerning church leadership and managing the different situations he will encounter in the church community. So when we read this particular letter, well, yeah, he's talking to Timothy, but also it applies to us today in our church life, in our church family. And can I get someone to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, please?
As I urged you upon my departure to Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogy, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith.
Thank you, Di. So we see that even in the early church, there were people who were preaching false doctrines. They wanted to bring in myths. They wanted to bring in genealogies. I understand at the beginning of the growth of the church, people carried their old traditions in. But Christ Jesus had put an end to that with his death on the cross. And verse 5 is a pretty important verse because he says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So those three qualities, a pure heart, good conscience, and a sincere faith, is something that we as Christians should be striving for in our lives. He goes on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to the exhortation and teaching. This particular verse applies to you and I. Let our speech, our conduct, our love and faith and purity be an example to those around you, to those who believe. And pay attention to the Scripture, the public reading, to exhort one another, and also teach one another. That's what the Scriptures do. They help us build us up. They help us identify our shortcomings so that we can grow from those mistakes we make, from the sin that we enter. And we are very fortunate to be living in this time because we have an avenue to God through Christ Jesus to ask for forgiveness. And Paul's reinforcing that particular point in this particular scripture. And also, just because it was written to Timothy, it also applies to you and I today. This is the first letter Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor who was a help to Paul in his work. Timothy was a Greek. His mother was a Jew. His father was a Greek. And where do we first encounter Timothy in the scripture? Anybody know?
Yeah.
in Acts, when Paul went on his missionary journey, he encountered this young man who was taught by his grandmother and his mother on the scriptures. And he saw quality in Timothy. He wanted to serve God. Even though his father was Greek and his wife was a Jew, his mother was a Jew, he still was dedicated to worshiping God. And Paul was more than just a mentor and leader to Timothy. He was like a father to him, and Timothy was like a son. So there was a bond between these two individuals that tied them together. And that bond is the bond of faith, something that we all have in common. And Paul begins the letter by urging Timothy to be on guard for false teachers and false doctrine. That's an admonition for us today, to make sure we identify those false teachers and false doctrines and don't let them permeate the body here. And how do we do that? What do we do to identify these individuals? Well, we test them against what? Exactly, Bill. Test them against the scriptures and make sure what they're talking about, make sure that they are following God's guideline, the Bible. But if they deviate from that, we should point that out to them and tell them they're wrong.
Lenny?
You mean not? Yes, go ahead.
The way the Old Testament puts it is if it does not come true, then you know he's a false prophet.
Uh-huh.
That's the other part. But we do have to know what the scripture is so we'll know if he's telling the truth too.
Exactly, Jimmy. We have to make sure that we are grounded in the faith. We are learning what God says and applying those scriptures to our lives so that we could be approved and also identify these individuals with their teachings and false doctrine. Very good point, Jimmy. We also see that Paul instructs Timothy about worship in chapter 2 and developing mature leaders for the church in chapter 3. And those are the elders and deacons. The letter deals with warnings about false teachers and the church's responsibility towards single members, widows, elders, and slaves. We don't have slaves today, but yet back in the day they did. And God is accounting for them, as with widows and elders. And all throughout the letter, Paul encourages Timothy to stand firm, to persevere, and to remain true to his calling. That's something that applies to us. We should stand firm in the faith, always persevering to do what God has us to do. And we learn that in the scripture. And to remain true, to remain faithful to our calling. Jesus gave us something that is far precious than anything, and that is eternal life. And we have that opportunity by God's grace and mercy to obtain that by the way we live, how we conduct our lives as Christians, how we interact with our neighbors and friends and business people, associates, so that they know we stand for Christ, the way we conduct ourselves. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to do the same. Make sure you stand firm and persevere and remain true to your faith, to your calling. Paul teaches about the need for prayer and proper worship. Prayer is something that we as Christians should have in our lives, in our daily lives. Not only our private lives, but also our public lives. Prayer is a way you and I communicate to God the Father through Christ Jesus. And that is so wonderful that we have that avenue to approach our Heavenly Father. It's just like your earthly father. You want to talk to him so that you have that relationship. And that's the relationship Christians should have with God. But also there's a way to properly worship God. An example of that would be in the Old Testament, where when you read about what God expected from the Israelites, how he wanted them to worship him with all the sacrifices, with all the different things. He didn't want them to deviate from that. When someone deviated from that, what did God do? Kill them. Absolutely. That's scary to me. You know, when Aaron's two sons decide, we'll get some incense and offer it to God. And he killed them. We as Christians should realize it's God's way, not our way. And when people try to bring other things into the worship service, it takes away from the way we should worship God. And he teaches that Jesus Christ is the ransom for all and is our mediator with the Father. Jesus came down here on earth to die for our sins. And he did that willingly. And he did that because God the Father wanted a perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice that the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats and all they offered couldn't do. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross paid that ransom for you and I. And he is our mediator. He is our go-between with God, our Heavenly Father. And Paul, he instructs men.
It occurs to me that it's important that we understand that his role as a mediator is something that he's doing today.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that was finished at the cross. He is still our mediator.
Exactly. He still is our go-between. And that's why we have this avenue of prayer, that we approach God, our Heavenly Father, through Christ Jesus. Very good point. And Paul, he instructs men and women how to conduct themselves during worship in this particular book. He outlines the qualifications of bishops and deacons. So there's a plan that God had put together. There's a hierarchy of what the church is. And it started with Jesus when he died. He taught his apostles. And in turn, they had shared the gospel message with many of the churches. And the mature churches established the elders who were responsible for the flock. And they had helpers who were the deacons. And then the members and evangelists, all part of this organization that God had put together. And he expects you and I as Christians to properly worship him in accordance to his word. Jesus is presented by Paul as the mediator between God and man in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Savior to all who believe in him. He is the Lord of the church, and Timothy serves him by teaching the gospel. He goes out and proclaims Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, something that you and I should be doing to the best of our ability. We may not be great orators. We may not be people who are flowery with our speeches, but yet each and every one of us could share the gospel with others. And Paul's first letter to his son in the faith instructs Timothy on matters of church doctrine, church leadership, and church administration. We can use these same instructions in governing our local assembly today. Just because it was written way back in the first century, it also applies to you and I as Christians to this day and Christians in the future. The work and ministry of a teacher, the qualifications for an elder, are just as important and pertinent today as they were in Timothy's day. So it's important we model after this letter so that we can have qualified elders and deacons. And Paul's first letter to Timothy amounts to an instruction book on leading the local church. So when you look at and when you read 1 Timothy, just think about it. It's a guide to the local church that Paul is sharing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The instructions in this letter apply to any leader or prospective leader of Christ's church and are equally relevant today as they were in Paul's day. And for those who are not called into leadership roles in their church, the book is still practical. Every follower must contend for the faith and avoid false teaching. Every follower must stand firm and persevere. So it also applies to you and I as Christians to walk in a right relationship with God and to put him first. There are a number of lessons we could learn from the first book of Timothy. And we could see that the church has a message that needs to be defended. We have to stand firm and make sure that we don't deviate or change what the gospel is just to make points with individuals. We have to present the gospel in its true form. And Paul instructs Timothy to defend the church's message. The church has been taught sound doctrine that is according to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And it is the only sound doctrine that contains the transforming power of the gospel. It is to be lived out with a good conscience. We should do our best to present the gospel to others. And the word of God must be preached with faithfulness and conviction. And when we read other places in the scripture, we could see that the Holy Spirit inspired men to talk about this, how to present this. We're going to be talking a little bit about Peter in a couple of weeks. And he had given instructions that we are supposed to share that message in a way that people know what that hope is within us, but do it in such a way that we show reverence and honor to God. The church has members that need direction. And he covers a lot of this in the second chapter and also in the third chapter. Paul provides directions for the church's members. The directions focus on areas concerning public worship and the oversight of the elders. When discussing the nature of public worship, he is very specific regarding the roles of men and women that they play. And Paul provides biblical qualifications for overseers and deacons. Where else can we find qualifications of elders in the New Testament besides Timothy?
Titus,
very good. Thank you, Carol. And we'll cover that hopefully next week. The church's servants have duties. We are the church's servants. We go out and serve not only each other, but also those in the community. The church's servants are to be marked by essential elements that are pleasing to the Lord. They must be men who give themselves to the word and show a genuine love to all members of the congregation. When an elder serves the congregation or a deacon serves the congregation, they are putting that individual ahead of their own self. And that's why we're here, to serve each other. Elders do that. They serve the congregation. Deacons do that. They serve people who are in need. And Paul covers this in the fourth chapter. And the church's members need to be dealt with biblically. We just can't make up things. We can't say, well, this is what I think. It has to come from the scriptures. Paul gives specific instructions concerning his various age groups, widows, elders, masters, troublemakers, and the wealthy. So he covers this in the first book of Timothy. And the church is made up of all sorts of people, and they are to be loved and instructed in the word. That's what we do. We teach. We present what's in the scriptures so that you and I can grow as faithful members of Christ's body. And he also wrote 2 Timothy. And we see that there's only four chapters in this particular book. But the key thought we could apply to the book is to be faithful in all that you do. Timothy is encouraged to be bold, endure hardships in the ministry, to watch out for false teachers and false teaching, and to teach the word. That's applicable to us today. Stay committed to Christ and his word. And Jesus in this particular book is he's our example of suffering. And he died in our place on the cross, so that you and I can have the opportunity to be with him in heaven. So there's an expectation that God expects his children to love him, because he is our Father. And if you look around us, you can see what he created. How can anybody say, well, look what my father did. He gave us everything in this world. And we should be humbled about that and honored that God our Father would do that. As we go through an outline of 2 Timothy, we see that the first chapter deals with guard and maintain the gospel. That's important. And Paul is stressing to Timothy, make sure you don't deviate from the word of God. He goes on to say in 2 Timothy, the first 13 verses, fight and suffer for the gospel. We look at what happened in the first century and the persecution that the saints were under. Something that we don't experience here, but others in this, in the world experienced that. Suffering for Christ. Just think about what you would do as a Christian if you had suffering. If you had persecution, would you still put God first? Think about that. The remainder part of the second chapter, Paul deals with pursue godliness. And how do we do that? Well, you read what's in the scripture. You apply the things in the scripture to your life. And he goes on to say in the third chapter, continue in sound teaching. Make sure your teaching is out of the word, not made up by man. And finally, preach the word. Preach the gospel to those in the world. Your home, your family members, to your neighbors, your friends, and people that you encounter. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gives Timothy his final instructions and words of encouragement. Just remember, Paul right now is facing death. And he's trying to encourage Timothy to stand fast, no matter what's going to happen. And he reminds him to follow his example and to be steadfast in trials to come. We all face different trials in our lives. And there are tests for you and I, a test to strengthen our faith, to grow our faith, to make sure we don't deviate in sin. Paul wanted to use his last words to encourage Timothy and all other believers to persevere in the faith and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only does this apply to Timothy, but also to you and I, to make sure that we're doing what we can to share the gospel message with others. Suffering is a major theme in 2 Timothy. Paul reminds Timothy multiple times of his chains and impeding debt and calls Timothy to share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. To share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus and to endure suffering. Again, we don't have the suffering that they had back in the first century, but when you read what these individuals were going through, we see that suffering was part of their way of life, their Christian way of life. And Paul reminds them that they should remember that Jesus suffered for you and I, and we will eventually suffer. And that's what he's sharing with Timothy. And he writes, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. So they were under persecution, feared for their lives. But yet Paul is encouraging to stand firm in the faith and to continue to spread the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Paul's second letter to Timothy focuses on solemn charges to a young teacher. Guard and fight for the gospel. Paul was appointed a preacher, apostle, a teacher of the gospel, and Timothy is responsible for guarding it. and entrusting it to others. The road ahead will be fraught with suffering. Paul encourages Timothy to be strong and fight the good fight. That's a lesson for us today. We as Christians have the responsibility to go out in our local areas and spread the message of the gospel to the best of our ability. Be strong and fight the good fight. That's what he's telling Timothy, who is Paul's going to lead him, and he is going to be on his own. Pursue righteousness, something that we as Christians should always be focusing on. Make sure we pursue what is right. And how do we do that? Bill had indicated to read the scripture, to apply those scriptures to our lives so that we may be approved of God. There are a lot of people out there who will try to disrupt Timothy's work and lead people into ungodliness. Timothy and other believers are to accurately handle the word, avoid empty chatter, flee from youthful lusts, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Something that we as Christians should follow in our life, in our Christian walk of life. Accurately handling the word. How do we do that? You study. You read what God wants you to do. You search the scriptures to find out exactly what God is telling you. It's a way of God the Father communicating through the Spirit to us. Avoid empty chatter. Don't talk about frivolous things, but focus on the Word of God. Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness. We should be doing that. Make sure our faith, make sure the love and the peace we have with each other is exemplified in our lives. Continue in sound teaching. There's apostasy out there. There's false teachers in the world. Back in the first century and also today, we should identify that and stay away. And Timothy must remember the scriptures. Scriptures are the key. It's God's way of telling us how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. And finally, preach the word. Paul's last charge to Timothy is to preach the word. Timothy is not only responsible for keeping church doctrine in line, he's also supposed to bring that teaching to the lost. Something that we as Christians should always be focusing on. Making sure those in the world who don't have Christ in their lives, who don't have God in their lives, that we bring that message to them. Can I get a volunteer to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, please? Thank you very much, Pete. So we see that Paul is telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Or Paul himself, who was a prisoner. But join with him in the suffering for the gospel, according to God's power. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved of God as a good workman, who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Again, how do we do that? By applying scripture to our lives. Living scripture the way God wants us to walk in that right relationship with him. Paul encourages Timothy to remain passionate for Christ and to remain firm in sound doctrine. That's applicable to you and I today. Remain passionate for Christ. He did something that no other person had did. He died in our place. And when you read in Romans chapter 5, we read that, you know, somebody may be able to die in your place, but yet Jesus didn't even know you and I, but yet he died for us so that we could have the opportunity of eternal life and remain firm in sound doctrine. He also reminds Timothy to avoid ungodly beliefs and practices and to flee from anything immoral. Again, that applies for Christians today. And in the last days, there will be both intense persecution and apostasy in the Christian faith. And we saw that when we read 1 and 2 Peter. We saw that when we read the historical account of what happened in the first century. But Paul is encouraging Timothy to make sure you stand firm in the faith. And he goes on, he closes with an intense plea for believers to stand firm in the faith and to finish the race strong. To make sure your faith doesn't deviate. Lessons in 2 Timothy, guard what was entrusted. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul reminded Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ or Paul, even though he wasn't changed. He then charges Timothy to keep the pattern of teaching and sound doctrine that he learned from Paul, guarding diligently what has been entrusted to him. That's something that applies to us today. To make sure we're not ashamed of our Lord. When people are ridiculing Jesus, where do you stand in your life? Do you stand up for Jesus? Or do you cowardly walk away? We have an example of that in the scriptures. Peter, when Jesus was being tortured by the soldiers in the garden, slave girl pointed out, hey, that guy was with Jesus. And Peter denied him three times. You can just imagine what Peter felt when he remembered what the Lord told him. But yet we see him standing for the faith, just as Paul did or Saul when he became a Christian, to boldly go and preach the gospel message. Be strong in grace. Grace is God's gift for us. And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus and to endure hardship. Again, make sure you stand for Christ no matter what it costs. It may cost you your life. And that's what he's encouraging Timothy, to make sure you endure that hardship for the Lord. He is to remain focused on Jesus and his resurrection, something that we have to be focused on. Jesus Christ died for you and I. He died for our sins, sins of all men. Of all men in the world, those who were back in the Old Testament times who were faithful to the best of their ability, and also those today from the gospel, from the beginning of the church till now and in the future. Focus on Jesus and his resurrection. Paul instructs Timothy not to quarrel over words, but rather handle the word of God with skill and accuracy. Don't quibble about different words or what they mean, but handle what God had given us with skill and accuracy. And how do we do that? By studying, by applying God's word. He must be able to gently instruct and explain the word so God can lead people into a knowledge of the truth. And that's why we share the gospel with others. It's not our ability to be a great orator or somebody who can persuade somebody. It's God's word that we are presenting to that individual. And we hope that that individual's heart is open to God's word so that they may acquire the knowledge and the necessary steps to become a Christian. Godlessness in the last days. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 serves as a warning that the time of apostasy is here. False teaching was back in first century as it is today. And we have to be guarding against that. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. They will continually be seeking knowledge, but will never be able to accept the truth. And we find the truth in the scriptures. Paul firmly instructs that we should have nothing to do with these people. Instead, we are to combat their teachings by knowing the Holy Scriptures, what makes us wise and equips us for every good work. Again, make sure you are immersed in the Scriptures. Make sure that's part of your lives. Preach the word in season and out. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 is a charge to be prepared to preach the word in season and out. Always being ready to correct, train, and encourage others. It's not that we're beating someone over the head with a wet noodle and saying this is what you got to do. It's a way of admonishing that individual. It's a way of encouraging that individual to get their lives corrected. And Paul encourages Timothy to keep calm and steady, enduring hardship, and to fully perform all the duties of his ministry. No matter what the cost is, and it may have been his life. Christians must keep the eye on the prize, being rewarded in heaven by Jesus Christ. We must strive to avoid both false doctrine and ungodly practices. This can only be accomplished by being grounded in our knowledge of God's word and firm in our refusal to accept anything that is unbiblical. 2 Timothy is a good reminder to stay focused on Christ and to remain true to the grace revealed in the word of God. Thus, we will be able to teach and explain it with authority and power. And when we read the scriptures and share it with others, and people reject that, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God's word. And we have to remember that when we present the gospel. And 2 Timothy is relevant today because it reminds us that the gospel must be first preserved in order to be proclaimed. We can't change the gospel. We can't change it so that others may, well, if we change this, maybe they'll join us. It has to be constant, because that's what God had given us in the scriptures, so that we could proclaim Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to others. And apart from the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, the church has no message of hope for those who are lost and dying. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is his death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul shares this with Timothy. And also, like I said, 1st and 2nd Timothy are applicable to you and I today. Okay, that's the conclusion of the two books. Are there any questions or additions that someone wants to bring up last few minutes? I appreciate the readings and also your attention and responses.